We pray this night in his name. Amen. Tonight our focus is on the fifth commandment, Westminster Shorter Catechism, questions 63 to 66. Tonight we come to the first commandment on the second tablet of commandments. The second tablet of six commandments deals with our relationships with others. You remember how Moses received two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on them. On the first stone had the first four commandments, which have been teaching us about how we are to worship God, teaching us about our relationship with God. The first four commandments show us how we are to honour and worship God. It's not until our relationship is right with God that our relationships with each other can be right. The final six commandments speak to us about our relationships with other people. To keep these commandments honours God. Question 63 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism states to us Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It tells us what the fifth commandment is. Exodus 20, verse 12 states, "Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Question 66 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism teaches us that the fifth commandment is the first commandment with a promise. The Catechism states that the fifth commandment promises long life and prosperity to all those who keep this commandment as far as it shall serve for God's glory and the individual's own good. Tonight, I don't know what your experience was like growing up in your family home. Some of you gathered here tonight will have had very good experiences and have wonderful memories to cherish. However, there probably is others here tonight who have had difficult experiences. And the reality is your childhood has many scars that you prefer not to remember. I can say tonight that I've been very fortunate. I was very blessed to have a set of parents who loved me very dearly. From my earliest moment, I have always felt loved, safe, and cared for. I have had parents and grandparents who have made a significant impact and have played a significant role in my life for good. I was taught what was right and what was wrong. From a young age, my parents prayed for me and prayed with me and read the Bible with me. My parents provided for my physical needs. My father quite literally risked his life every time he went through the opening of the pier to put bread and butter on the table. You may think I'm greatly exaggerating in that. In the last 10 years, 94 fishermen have died at sea out of the 12,000 strong UK fishing fleet. The government last year issued a report which claimed that a fisherman is six times more likely to die at sea than the most dangerous job in land in the United Kingdom. I continue to have a good and healthy relationship with my parents. They are people who I respect, and often I seek their wisdom and advice. And I have a God-given responsibility to honour my father and my mother as long as God blesses me with breath. Tonight, from God's word, in the fifth commandment, we will see that the parent and child relationship is the foundation of all other relationships. When the fifth commandment tells us that we are to honour our father and mother, who is it that God means we are to honour? Yes, we are called to honour our parents. The fifth commandment also calls us to honour those who are superior to us, those who are in authority over us. We're also called to honour those who are inferior to us, those who are below us, and also those who are equal to us. We're called by God to show honour, reverence, and respect to those in authority over us. We are to honour those in different spheres of life. We are to honour those God has given authority to. We're called to be thankful to God for those He has set in authority over us. We are called to be obedient to those that God has set in authority over us. We are to be obedient to those in authority over us as long as their objectives, instructions and counsel is in accordance to God's holy law. When those in authority over us desire to lead us in a direction contrary to God's law, we as followers of Christ are called rather to obey God than man. We are called to obey God rather than man. Fifth commandment teaches us that the first people we are called to honour, respect, obey and treat with reverence is our parents. God in His providence created the family unit. It is through the family unit of parents and children that a child should learn how to honour God. Christian parents are God's representatives within the family home. John Calvin believed that the parent is God's superintendent. They fulfill a very sacred function within the family home. Parents are called to rule over their children. The Christian parent is the one who will be faithfully praying for their child from before their very even conception or adoption, that God in His grace will fulfill His covenant promises on the child's life. The Christian parent is the one called by God to bring up their children in the ways of the Lord. The Christian parent should read God's word to the child, teach them how to pray, and bring their children up in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. Parents, it is our duty and responsibility to teach our children what is right and what is wrong. Parents, we are called to teach, correct, rebuke and train our children. We are called to counsel and discipline our children. If you spare the rod, you spoil the child. In fact, you go further. You end up making a rod to break your very own back. We are not to stand back and let our children do as they please. Parents, we have been called by God to rule over our children. Our children are not the head of the house. We are to be. As parents, we are to exercise godly rule over our children. As children, we are called to show honour, respect, and reverence to our parents. We are to be obedient to their godly counsel. We are to be obedient to their counsel as long as it's in accordance to the Scriptures. We are to remember that our parents should have more wisdom than us. Good parents will want the very best for you. Good and godly parents will try and direct your paths in a direction to help you and to prevent you from making the same mistakes in life that they have already made and maybe painfully learnt from. We are to speak of our parents honourably. We should not run them down. We as followers of Christ should be a people who pray to God, giving them thanks for the significant role that our parents have played within our lives. As children, we should desire to know our parents' opinion in the biggest and most significant decisions we make that will impact the rest of our lives for as long as we should live. As children, we should never enter into an engagement to marriage without consulting our father and mother. To do this would be to be dishonouring our parents. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 34 to 35, we see how Esau dishonoured his parents by intermarrying with the Hittite women. It states, when Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. I personally, and this is my personal view on this, I feel surprised engagements are not a good idea. Any man who is seeking his girlfriend's hand in marriage should go and speak to his father and mother. Following their approval, the boyfriend then should seek his girlfriend's father's permission. He should be willing to give his girlfriend's father due time to consult the girl's mother so a decision can be made. This gives parents time to pray and also consult their daughter on the matter. I believe this should take place ever before a ring is purchased. Children, your parents know you better than your boyfriend or girlfriend, who will only know you a relatively short time over your lifespan. They will know if the person you are courting is a good match or not. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, we see Isaac directed Jacob in where he should go to find a suitable wife. It says, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Padan, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brothers. Parents, we should never refuse our children to enter marriage due to envy, jealousy, or selfish ambitions. We are to allow our children to flee the nest. We don't need to have them for a short time. Our children should get to the stage where they don't need us every day of the week. However, parents, you should not give your consent to your children's hand in marriage if that marriage is going to be unevenly yoked, as that is against the teaching of the Scriptures. I am fully aware that the Scriptures teach us that when a man gets married, he is to leave his father and mother and is to be united to his wife. That is true, and that should take place. But men, we still have responsibilities for our parents. Women do too, just not men. Women as well. As married people, we are still called to love our parents. We are not to forget about them. We should make it a priority in our week to call them and visit them. When they get old and frail, it is our duty and responsibility to ensure that our parents are treated with dignity and receive the finest and best care possible. We're not to treat our parents as if they are our burden. Our parents should not be made to feel as if they are a problem. As parents get on in years, they require much more attention from their children. And it is our duty as children to ensure that they receive that attention. We are not just to stick them into a care home when the first time something goes wrong and forget about them. However, there is occasions when it is necessary for a parent to move out of the family home and to be placed in a residential or nursing home, as the care that they need is unable to be given to them at home. And that is the situation. Be sure that your mother and father is getting the proper care that they are entitled to receive. Sadly, there is occasions that our parents' health will deteriorate to such a state that they will be no longer in sound mind to deal with their own affairs. Often, when this happens, a child or children, as the case may be, receives power of eternity. If we are ever to find ourselves in this situation, we should ensure that we handle our parents' affairs in a manner that honours our parents and would fulfil their wishes. We're not just called to treat our parents with reverence and honour when they are alive. We're also called to honour them in death. For the longest day we live, we are to honour our parents by how we speak about them, but also in how we live out our lives. We are not to forget their wise and godly counsel. The occasion of our parents' death, we as their children have a responsibility to honour their wishes when it comes to their funeral arrangements. The only reason that we should ever dishonour those funeral arrangements is if their arrangements were against the will and teaching of God's word. We're also required to honour their wishes when it comes to sorting out their earthly estate. We should never and should have no desire to push our own personal agenda so we can fulfil our own selfish and often greedy desires. To do this is to dishonour your parents and in fact breaks the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment also teaches us that we are to honour all those who are superior to us. We are called to honour the government. Paul in Romans 13 verses 1 and 2 states, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist has been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 tells us that as followers of Christ, we are called to honour everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the emperor. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 teaches us to pray for kings and all those in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We as followers of Christ are called to show honour and reverence to our politicians, to our government. We are to speak well of them. We are called to obey the laws our government passes, which is in accordance to the scriptures. We are to pray for them. Our government is called by God to create laws which impact the people's lives for good. Our government should seek to pass laws which is for the good of all the people of the society. A law not to murder is just not a good law for Christians. It's a good law for the whole of society. A law to protect the family unit is just not a good law for the Church of Jesus Christ and for Christians within society. It's good for the whole of society. The fifth commandment also teaches us that as followers of Christ, that as an employee, we are called to honour our employer. How are we to honour our employer? Paul teaches us in Colossians chapter 3 verses 22 to 24 that we are called to obey our employers. We are to be faithful and diligent to do our work to the very best of our ability. We're just not to work hard when our employer's eyes are watching over us. We're called to work for our employers as if we are working for the Lord Himself. We are to speak well of our employers. We are to have a warmth in our hearts for their well-being. We're not to envy them or rebel against them. We're not to speak back to them harshly. We are to honour, respect, and be obedient to them. However, an employer who is a follower of Christ is also required by God to treat his employee with honour and reverence. Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 states, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." An employer should treat his employee fairly. An employer should pay his employee a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. The employer should ensure his employee is paid his wages on time. An employer should be very aware that he and his employee have the one and same Lord who will judge them both. Within the Church of Jesus Christ, the fifth commandment teaches us that we are to honour those who are called by God to have authority over us. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17 states that the elders who rule over you well be considered worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in preaching and teaching. The Kirk session is to be treated with honour and respect. The decisions which they make by the authority of the Scriptures should be obeyed. Our ruling elders are called by God to rule over us. Our teaching elder has been set apart, called and equipped by God to preach and proclaim the full counsel of God's word, to pray and pastor the flock of God's people where God has placed them. A Kirk session is under the authority of its presbytery, and presbytery is under the authority of the General Assembly. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the highest authority in the church. Jesus Christ is the one who is deserving of the highest honour. As members of the congregation, we as God's people should pray for our church session. Pray that God in His grace would protect them from the attacks of Satan. We also should encourage them. We should submit to their godly wisdom and counsel. Tonight, as we go out into a new week as followers of Christ, how should the teaching of the fifth commandment impact our lives? But we should not take this teaching lightly. God calls us to honour those who are in authority over us. We're called to honour those who are dependent on our leadership, wisdom, and counsel. Sadly, very sadly today, we are living in days where there are many parents and children who are not in speaking terms. This has happened for many different reasons. There's parents and children who have chosen to have ended contact with each other for months, years, or even decades. Something will have happened to cause this division. Tonight, God's word to us is to examine our lives and the relationships within our lives. Where there is broken relationships, there should be a genuine, real, God-given desire to restore those broken relationships. Children, we are called to honour our parents. God does not put down conditions in the fifth commandment for when we should and should not honour our parents. We are called by God to honour them. You may not have been brought up in a nice home. Your dad maybe was a drunkard who verbally and physically abused your mother and blew his wages before he ever gave your mother even money to run the house for the next week. What he did was wrong. It was sinful. Sin that which will be judged by his Maker, who also is our judge. Maybe your father or mother was a homewrecker. They went out of their way to make everyone's life a misery. Even though your father or mother, as the case may be, may have behaved in this way, this does not mean that we have the right to dishonour them. As followers of Christ, we are called to forgive as we have been forgiven. God in his grace sent Christ to redeem, reconcile, and restore. God sent Christ to redeem, reconcile, and restore our broken relationship to himself. Let us remember that the fifth commandment comes with a promise of long life, prosperity, everlasting life. However, that being said, it is important to point out that if a parent does what is against the law of God, and is against the law of the land, the honourable thing to do is to ensure they face the law of the land. Parents, you and I are not above the law. To fail to report a parent for doing what is illegal is in fact dishonouring your parent. Fathers, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 gives us a very important instruction. Paul states, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Paul states, "Fathers, hear," as he explains in Ephesians chapter 5 that the husband is the head of the wife. So in fact, the father is the head of the house. Fathers, as a father, we are to ensure in our homes, our children are brought up in homes that are not run harshly with an unloving spirit, which is only interested in our own interests. We cannot bring up our children in a home that is all law and no grace. If we do this, our children will end up wanting nothing to do with the gospel. They will resent the gospel. They will end up hating God and hating us. Instead, we are to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord through God's word, but also by our example. As parents, we are fallen people who make mistakes. However, as a father, I should never do anything that would anger Abigail to such an extent that she would want to disown and dishonour me as her father. I would never want Abigail to despise the gospel because of me. Instead, as fathers and mothers, we should desire that our children would honour us, as in doing so, they are honouring God. When we as parents get things wrong, move quickly to say sorry and to seek forgiveness. Failing to do this allows sin to grow and develop, which leads to broken relationships, which dishonours God. Tonight, in closing, it is important to remember that the only way we can begin to fulfil the fifth commandment is by having a right relationship with God. It's not until we have a right relationship with God that we can have a God-honouring relationship with those in authority over us. The only way we can have a right relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who has fulfilled and kept the fifth commandment perfectly. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he honoured his mother. In John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, we see Jesus say to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "John, behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus was honouring his mother as he was ensuring that his mother was going to be cared for after his death. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus was perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Remember, it is through Christ's atoning death that we can have a restored relationship with the Father. Tonight, do you have that? I trust and pray that you do. Amen. Let's pray.